Hello and welcome to GameSpot After Dark, episode 211. I'm your host, Tim Hossain, definitely doing this for the first time and the first time only. Definitely did not have my computer crash earlier and have to start all over again. I'm joined by Lucy James.
Hello again for the first time.
And the one and only Jano Choa.
Hello, my name is Jake. That's my first name, obviously. Redoing a bit that is now lost to the ether.
Like we did a old, in rain.
Old people voice. Lucy, can you give us your old person voice again?
All of these... No, hang on. That was a cockney. All of these moments will be lost in time. Like tears in rain.
Beautiful. That's really good.
That's good. You. That was good. Thank you. Everyone is on assignment today, so we begged Jan to join us, and he deemed us worthy enough to grace the GameSpot After Dark podcast. Jan.
It was the other way around. I have been looking over all the train footage, and I was like, I miss them.
Train gang.
Jan, I'm very excited to see that.
You've been working on this for a bit. How close are we to a train blog?
I'm hoping by the time folks are listening to this, probably when this comes out.
Oh, nice. Check out Giant Bomb on YouTube or giantbomb.com to see that video. Jan, you've been playing Cyberpunk. How's it going?
Yes. I've been playing Cyberpunk, and this is the first time I've been checking out. I think everyone saying it was terrible when it initially released terrified me, so I decided to wait. And then I thought about getting into it during the pandemic, but then Matthew Rory was complaining about his whole existence with Cyberpunk. So I thought, all right, I'll just keep waiting. And then 2.0 dropped, Phantom Liberty eventually dropped. So I decided no better time to check out Cyberpunk than now. And I'm enjoying my time with it because I can just straight up punch people, and it is viable to punch people, unlike other games, namely Starfield.
Yeah. Have that, Todd Howard. Did you guys see the live action launch trailer with Idris Elba?
Grub and I were talking about this.
The very last thing he says is the game is fixed. Oh my God.
I like it.
Bold. I love it. Genius.
Idris.
What background did you pick?
Oh, shoot. I think I picked the middle one or the streets one.
Street kid.
Yes. Cause I identified with the street kid. I feel like I should have made a lady or a female presenting person, because I've heard the voice actor is ever so slightly stronger, voice actor.
It's Makoto from Persona 5.
Mm. Oh, nuts.
Mm, yeah.
How far in are you? Can you...
And she's very good.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
I'm like, maybe like 3 hours in. It wouldn't be the worst to like restart, I guess, because it's not... A lot of that, it is a slow start, so I could just skip through a lot of that.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but also, Street Kid, I did Street Kid when I replayed it recently, and I was like, I forgot how short those intros are. Like, I remember Corpo being pretty fun, or at least, like, good vibes in the Corpo one. Like, the vibes were very on point. Get to experience more. I think Nomad is where you can go and meet Alana Pierce.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah. I've been playing a bunch of the games. There's so many games right now that are just taking up so much time, but I've been playing a bunch of that game as well. I've now got to the point where I can double jump and dash without it consuming any stamina, and I move faster than most cars.
What?
I can just
go.
Mate, a whole world lies before you.
I don't even get into vehicles anymore because I'm faster than vehicles.
I'm fast as fuck, boy.
Yeah, I'm like climbing buildings. I'm like, I was chasing a car on foot recently in
real life.
Yeah, and then I came home and I played Cyberpunk and did the same thing. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I finished it on Monday, and John Luke told me before they went away to plug the Phantom Liberty spoiler cast that's going up this weekend. I think it's John Luke, Michael, and Jake. And I think it's a pretty beefy one. So if you finish the main campaign for it, definitely check that out. It'll be live on this podcast feed.
Yeah. But everything I've played of that game is exceptional. Like, I don't know. It's somehow still popular to shit on Cyberpunk, or like say CD Projekt don't deserve the kind of praise that they're getting now. But I'm above all that. Good game's a good game. The studio, sure, it had a rough start, but it never owned up to it for the most part, and has done right by the team. I think the big question was like, will they be able to recover from this and reestablish themselves as one of the premier RPG makers in the world after the amazing work they did with Witcher? And I feel like they are fully back in that position now.
Yeah. I feel like the Netflix show also helped change like the public perception of Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh my god, I thought you were referring to The Witcher then. I was like, I don't think that changed anyone's minds about shit. That show is bad. But Edgerunners though.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, very good. Have you seen Edgerunners?
I have not seen any Edgerunners.
You should definitely watch it,
especially if you're playing the game, because it does after the success of Edgerunners, they went back in and put in stuff from the show to be like Easter eggs to it. But also like there's, I don't remember in the original version, Lucy, was cyberpsychosis a thing?
Not for your character, but yeah, you would encounter cyberpsychos, though they were a side mission, side activity thing.
Yeah, so that's like cyberpsychosis is one of the key plot points for that show, and now it's like a thing, a mechanic almost in how you upgrade and stuff like that. So it is. I think I would describe it as essential viewing if you're playing. Cyberpunk, and it's not too long as well.
Yeah, 10 episodes.
Yeah,
they're very good. I got the book as well. I got CDPR sent me a copy of No Coincidence, which I don't know how that ties in, but you can see it because it's bright yellow on my shelf. But I want to give that a read. I'm very cyberpunk pilled at the moment.
I also am trying to furiously work through that game because, as we all know, a deluge of games coming out. Because I want to get to Phantom Liberty because I want to see the homie. The Sphere Hunter.
Who's
A VO in this game. And I was like, oh, I'm super proud.
Sphere Hunter is very good.
Yeah, she's really good. The model is based on Susie as well.
Yeah it's just
her. Voice. It's
And like it's like a extremely good performance as well, which is good to have as well, yeah.
That's one of my favorite side quests because it's very funny.
It's like very the whole funny quest. And the way you meet her for the first time is like really funny.
Yeah, and you can find her very early on.
Okay, fantastic.
How many hours into you are you?
Cyberpunk?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm starting from the very beginning, so about like 3-ish hours. Mm. So.
Oh, I think it's like around 10 hours in, you get like the call to do the Phantom Liberty stuff. So
okay, cool.
You can plug through that. If you focus on main quest, you should get there fairly quick.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna stick to the main quest line for now, and just maybe eventually do another run of with all the side stuff.
Yeah, you should. I mean, there are definitely some side quests you should definitely prioritize.
If
Cinnamon comes through, you should do that one. What is the like the surveillance one? That one's so good.
Oh, can't remember.
The one with like the rich couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. I'll look it up after this. But
okie dokes.
I'm a cyberpunk defender because, and I feel bad about it because I didn't have a bad time playing it. As in, I didn't have many crashes when it came out because I played a PS4 disc version on a PlayStation 5.
Oh.
And so my experience was pretty smooth, to be honest. Obviously, I empathize and sympathize with people who did not have that experience. And so it's been very nice for me to revisit and play again and have this new wrinkle to it in terms of new content and an overhaul of the systems. It feels like a new game.
Yeah. I'm slowly making my way through. I've stopped to do side quests now. The gigs in Phantom Liberty are extremely good, like weirdly good. And our friend Alex Jordan, a friend of the show, is the new voice of Mr. Hands, who's one of the fixers that hits you up. His performance also incredible. It doesn't sound like Alex at all. It's
I messaged him. I was like, where the hell did that American accent come from? Because he's British.
Yeah, he's extremely British.
Y'all just got a handle on doing American accents better than Americans.
Yeah, wow. I mean, there's one British person that isn't doing a great American accent in that game.
Idris Elba. Yeah. Sadly. Well, the thing is that he does do a good American accent and he does do a good British accent, but unfortunately he does both of them in the same sentence.
Cool. It's like, Darling. Oh, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to sound like, Lucy.
Hey, it's fair. Wait, who in Don't Worry, Darling? Because I haven't seen it.
Harry Styles?
Oh, I got very caught up in Spitgate, but I never watched Don't Worry, Darling. Because
you can keep it that way.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I do love the pew.
Mm. Pew pew. Mm.
Anything else that you're checking out, Jen?
Tam, you would be so proud of me. Are you ready, buddy?
Uh-huh. One piece.
I hunkered down this past weekend. I barely get a full day to play video games, but I vegged out and I specifically set out that day to make Tam proud because I completed Lies of P.
Well done.
Yay!
Well done.
I tapped in. I got into the Tam zone and then I beat it. And I'm like, I was shaking afterwards of like, wait, did I beat one? Did I beat one?
Did I finish a game?
I finished a game?
How long did it take you all in, do you think? I haven't started it yet. I've got it, but I haven't started it yet.
So last week I was being a little bit naughty and I was playing it when I should have been editing several videos.
I'll tell your janitor.
I guess that's Bacalar, but whatever. It's fine. And you know, to be fair, the Amtrak, the train video is kind of evergreen. Anyway. So I was slacking off on the actual job playing video games, which is also part of the job.
It's part of the job. You're fine.
Yeah.
And I had gone through like a good chunk of the game last week during the work week. And then maybe 40-ish hours in total. I spent a couple nights also playing it, overnight on this and everything. But Saturday, plugged in and just got in there like swimwear, and yo, y'all, the after credits scene, absolutely wild.
Yeah, I've heard this one. Did the whale turn up?
No, I don't want to spoil it.
Did Russell Crowe say that he's here and he's founding a dark universe?
You know, it is not dissimilar from that.
Are you joking? Oh my god, is it fucking Winnie the Pooh?
Because that's going in.
I cannot.
Something else has gone into the public domain. If it's Winnie the Pooh, I'm gonna lose my shit.
You should play it, because everyone, if you speak to them, they'll tell you it's wild.
But I really liked it a lot. You know, I wound up walking away from when I did the Bloodborne identity on Giant Bomb during the early parts of the pandemic, really enjoying Bloodborne. And Elden Ring was an amazing game. I think we awarded a game of the year, of course. Mm-hmm. But there are parts of it that I think just didn't click with me. And then I wish I'd finished Sekiro, but time got away from me that I kind of wanted a combination of something like Sekiro and Bloodborne. And that's kind of what Lies of P is. There's a couple places where the game falls short. Like, I wish the dodge roll, or the dodge in general, was better than it actually is. It leaves a lot to be desired. The parry windows, still incredibly frustrating that there were instances where I completely just gave up on trying to properly parry.
I've only played the demo, and the parry window for me was like, I have no idea when I'm supposed to be going here.
It feels, every time you do it, it feels like you did it wrong, which is the worst.
It's
one of the major issues that I have with that game. I think it's great in almost every other respect, but I just feel like the parry is off. It doesn't feel like you can build a skill-based understanding or like a muscle memory to it where your instinct is enough. You always have to be like hoping for the best that you timed it right, which is
and
a
then
shame.
Some of the enemies, like, you, if you're trying to just track the animation, like, there's always a little pause before they actually hit.
And
I understand that that's there to throw off the player, but I think it just became frustrating after a while.
Yeah, I think the thing, they get most of the Bloodborne stuff pretty right, in their own mm-hmm. respect. I think the lesson they didn't learn from the Sekiro element is Sekiro's as much a rhythm game as it is a as an action game. So
yeah,
that is how like the counter system or the parry timing in Sekiro is rhythmic to like a very noticeable degree. Whereas here they're just trying to make you parry single attacks in a very like mechanical way.
Tim, I don't know if you saw this floating around online, but I did see this tip that I wound up just applying, and I don't know if it was just like a mental thing, assuming that it was working, but you know, in Sekiro where you tap to do the parry, right? It's very reactionary.
Yeah.
I saw someone saying it is easier to parry if you tap and hold versus like tap, tap, tap.
In Sekiro or in Lies of P?
In Lies of P to like feel like you're bracing for it rather than reacting to it.
Oh, interesting. Maybe
and I'll try that. I took that, and then at least in my head it felt like it was working, but I don't know if I was just telling myself it was working. I wouldn't be getting the Red Sparks perfect parry, but I'd still be tanking the damage.
Yeah. I think like the biggest tip I give people is just like the backstep has got a crazy amount of invincibility frames in it. Just keep backstepping all the time. And you're fine.
Especially with like the human sized enemies, like you can just kite around and backstab so easy.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good game. Good game.
Great game. I think it's probably going to be maybe 10 on my list this year.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be pretty high on mine. I'm not sure where yet, but it's going to be an interesting time. Anything else?
I have it here, and no one, audio listeners cannot see this, but I bought and I've been playing Wingspan virtually every other night.
What is it?
Lucy, I think you'd enjoy it.
I already told you that we're playing it.
We have so many board games that we say that we're going to play that we have not played a single bloody one.
Yo, I'm a Wingspan expert now, so throw me in, coach.
Yeah, let's do it.
Competitive medium-weight card-driven engine-building board game.
Yes, yes.
I put in one of our group threads, do you guys like birds? And everyone was very confused.
The on-ramp to learning the game is a little bit involved, but once you get going and fall into the rhythm of it, games do go by super, can have the potential to go by super quick. I'm just playing with Emmy and I, so we're just doing two people. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's why the speed of the game is a little bit faster. But for folks that want to check it out, I highly suggest also downloading the, there's a kind of like an accompaniment app, because if you scan your cards, it also plays specific, it also plays specific bird sounds associated with the specific cards.
Oh, it's cute.
So if you like, oh, here's this wild turkey that is indigenous to North America, you scan it and then it'll start playing turkey sounds, which is fun.
I like that a lot. What drink did you get?
It is basically an Arnold Palmer.
I love an Arnold Palmer. Yeah, I'm down to play. I'm looking at the website now.
It's also really involved. It's also one of those board games similar to like Catan, where the folks that have really dived into the board game and made it their personality have started selling artisan containers for all of the bits and pieces in this game. It's another one of those games like Ticket to Ride and Catan where there are a lot of literal moving parts to it.
Their website's very wholesome because all of the comments are replied to by one
birds.
Of Stone Meyer Games. I think this guy runs this website. Maybe they publish the games. Yeah, I think they but all of their comments have been replied to. It's very cute.
Did you say that it comes with the digital version?
It doesn't come with a digital version. At least that I bought had a coupon code for the Steam version.
Nice. I haven't opened mine yet. I don't know why I bought it, but I am going to play it.
It's out of the board games that I've bought and actually played, which is not a lot. It is really fun. I don't want to say it's addicting because it may just be because of recency bias, but I do enjoy playing it a lot. There it's lighthearted strategy. And I think if you have someone that already knows how to play, it is easier than trying to read through the instructions and whatnot.
Hmm. Yeah, I got the, I found the Bloodborne board game, card game in my local thrift shop a couple weeks ago. Which is for $11, which is pretty good bargain for a game that we'll never play. But you know,
I want to play it. Lucy, what else have you been playing?
I can't tell
other than
cool. I'm embargoed. Actually, no, I can tell you, but I can do one of those shitty "I have the game, you can hear my impressions on this day" tweet, which I'm not gonna do. So I genuinely haven't been doing anything else other than finishing Phantom Liberty. I basically have been, I put like 24 hours into that game over the last week and a half since I got back from LA, and I had a great time, but now I've moved on. I did start Quantum Break again. Well, for the first time, actually. I started playing Quantum Break to prepare myself for Alan Wake 2. And that game is broke as hell on PC, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so no. I'm going to have to download it on Xbox to get through. Actually, how long to beat Quantum Break? Oh, 10 hours.
It says don't.
Yes. Oh, 10 hours. Bless you. That's all I want.
It was originally much longer because you had to watch a half an hour TV show in between every chapter. So.
Oh yeah, they're not on my PC version, or at least like no, I think I have to go into a different place on the Xbox store and get it on my PC. So I'm just gonna download them and then.
They're all on YouTube, so you can just watch them there.
Well, on the Xbox version, apparently they're all like interspliced in again, so that's fine.
Okay, that's cool. But. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the same situation where I've been playing a bunch of games that we can't talk about for various reasons, those reasons being embargoes. But there's a lot of exciting discussions to be had in the near future. I think like a lot of us are like bracing for end of the year and game of the year stuff right now, where we're trying to play new stuff, but also are in the peripheral vision in the corner of our eyes, we can see all the games that we need to play before game of the year, so we can have like intelligent discussions around them. So like I think I'm going to try and play some of those as soon as possible. Like Cocoon reviews are now up and they're like
I literally just googled Cocoon because I want to play that so badly.
Review embargo's up so I can talk about it, right?
It's out tomorrow.
I believe so.
The review embargo's are up. It's all I've been
seeing. We gave it a 9 out of 10.
Absolutely fantastic puzzle game, y'all. Like it's also very linear, so no need to worry about straying off the beaten path too far that you waste a lot of time. It is like I was talking about this with Turbo Sean who helps us out at Giant Bomb. It's like bio-organic punk.
Mm.
Yeah.
All bugs, not specifically bugs, but it is very clever. Sound design, absolutely fantastic.
I call it insect punk.
Ooh, I like that too. Bug punk. It's like if everyone just became Kamen Riders.
It's pronounced Kamen.
I heard someone say Kamen, and then I thought I was wrong.
No, it's Kamen.
Motherfudgers.
Liars. Yeah, but I think it also it works perfectly on Steam Deck and ROG Ally, so it's a good in-bed game, which is how I'm playing it mostly. It's nice.
You got to strap the headphones in because, like,
yeah, good audio.
It's one of those like, oh yeah, plug me in.
You just went old man Jan again there.
Old
yeah,
Jan.
maybe that's just Jerome.
That's yeah, Jerome. It's on that guy. It's like we have Dan and Chris. Now we've got Jan and Jerome.
Oh man.
Damn. So I've been playing mostly that. I've been reading a book. Oh. You heard of those?
Yes. I've heard of them, yeah.
Do you know Tune and Fairweather, I believe they're called? They're an Irish publisher, but they do like super high end. If you just Google Tune and Fairweather and go to a website and look at the books, you will see just how high end we're talking. It is wild. Last year I ordered a a book, which is basically a two book collection on the mythology of Dark Souls.
Ooh. And, oh, yeah. Wow.
And I also have the Bloodborne one coming. They're about $100 each, and it is incredible. Like I'm like over the moon that I got them, because they're such high quality. There's illustrations, I believe, in there from Block, who Lucy you'll know.
Oh, yeah.
Worked with our friends at RKG, and did a lot of stuff with them. But the book that I got is called The Abyssal Archive, the Mythology of Dark Souls. And it is amazing. It's got a foreword written by one Vati Vidya. It's a incredibly like detailed academic look at the world of Dark Souls, and also like tries to kind of harmonize the translations errors and what they know the writer knows from the Japanese version of the game versus what is assumed by a lot of the audience and that kind of stuff. This two book series is actually $200,
dollar ratio.
Yeah, I mean, but it is stunning, and it's got like this fold out. It's got a third book in there, which is a lot thinner, but it's a fold out version of it, of the Lordran map, which is very, very cool. And it's got like loads of artwork in there and that kind of stuff. But it is it's pretty fantastic. There's also an audio book version of it that is available, which you can get from Tune and Fairweather for $17. And it's the entire book read by Vati Vidya. So I recommend that as well. I haven't got that one, but I don't think you need to be told how good Vati Vidya's voice is. But it's about like 20 hours long if you listen to it. But yeah, it's impressive, and they have a Bloodborne one coming soon as well. It's called Blood Echoes, a Bloodborne anthology, and that looks equally hot. I cannot wait to get it. But yeah, I've been reading that. I know I'm also reading House of Leaves, which is good and weird and very Remedy-ish. It's very intense reading that book. It feels like it takes a lot out of you, because it is like so dense with like concepts and language and that kind of stuff, that and imagery. Okay. By the time I finish reading a chapter, I'm exhausted and I'm like, oh god, I'm just gonna put this down now and read the much easier Dark Souls book. But that is primarily what I've been doing. Jan, can I get a One Piece update?
Okay. I made it to the app where, because I marathoned it and then I slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
I made it to the app where Sanji finally joins the crew, and now they're looking for Nami? Nami.
Namine.
They're looking for Nami. So this is after she vanishes?
Vanishes, yes.
So you're still
I just saw the blue fish man or purple fish man.
Okay, cool. Arlong?
He's like the big dude, and he's got like
a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's probably Arlong.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the first main antagonist of that entire series. I finished watching the live action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not it. If you like it, good for you. I'm really happy for you. I respect that you like it. I think it is hilariously bad. Like, it is, the casting is good, but it feels so awkward to watch. And I'm not saying that because I love the anime or I am reading the manga and I love that. It's just like, I wonder, like, from a narrative perspective and just the way it looks and stuff like that, the way people behave in terms of like their performances are so awkward that it just wasn't for me. But I know a bunch of people who watched it and are now checking out the anime and manga, which is good for them.
It's a good foot in the door, I guess. You're having the experience where you're going the other way, where it's like you've had the highest of the highs and then you're kind of going to a less good experience.
But yeah, I think I also, like, I have to the reason I'm like, I don't, what's it like, is like it misses a lot of the humor that is good in it, in the originals, the source material. It also like it truncates things that are really important from a character building and emotional kind of like standpoint, like the okay. the stuff that you've got coming up now, Jan, with Nami. Is have you seen the live action? You have or not?
No.
So it's the same thing that they do in the live action, but it's across two episodes. In the manga, it's like way longer to build up the characters and involved in it, and then reach a emotional payoff, which is like everyone remembers that's the final scene in that arc. And it's like an iconic One Piece moment. But in this, it's just so flippantly done that I was like, ugh. I'm kind of like, if I was watching this even without my One Piece knowledge, I would be like, I'm not buying any of this.
I see.
But it is, at the very least, it's stylistically interesting. And it's like, it's got a good energy to it. And I do think the person they carried, they cast as Luffy is very good. Like, has that kind of naive positivity and, you know, One Piece is a story about a pirate who just wants to make good friends. That's how I see it described. And he just wants nice friends. And Luffy is very, like, fiercely protective of his friends. And that's all that show is about. It's every, like, he's trying to become the Pirate King. But more importantly is he wants to have a good group of friends around him and keep them safe.
I didn't realize it was pretty much a found family show.
Mm-hmm. And I'm that's all exactly about that what type it is. Of jazz.
Yeah, I love a found family.
I mean, like, I watching the first arc of One Piece ending in the Nami stuff and Arlong Park will like sell you on that entire series, because it like it is. I've seen people cry watching it just because it's like the emotional payoff at the right all at the end crying. is good. Yeah, and then that season, that series continues to be that, finding friends, fighting for people. It's also about like rising up against tyranny and government and all these kind of like very mature and very complicated subject matter that is delivered through a goofy kind of like anime tale, but it's surprisingly complex from a character and narrative perspective. I'm not mad at it. I just it's not for me. Like,
sure,
I doubt I'll watch the second season. But,
it makes me oddly and hesitantly hopeful that it's been like mildly well received.
Oh yeah.
So it makes me mildly hopeful for the Avatar: The Last Airbender live action series.
I like a lot of the folks that they've casted is the problem.
I think
Old Man Jan has opinions.
I just don't know why he keeps coming out.
Did you know they cast? Do you know who they cast for the cabbage guy?
The cabbage guy.
They cast the cabbage guy. Yeah, the guy who voices the my cabbages. They my put cabbages. Him in the show to shout my cabbages.
I really like. I'm a big fan of the actor that they casted as Uncle Iroh as well.
Yep.
I haven't seen this cast actually. Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah, I'm. I am currently watching it for the
Daniel Day Kim.
Yep.
I know.
Oh wait, no, that's the old one.
No, yeah.
No, I think he's in it, isn't he? Doesn't he play Fire Lord
Ozai? Yeah,
Ozai. Yeah, he plays Fire Lord Ozai.
Oh my god. Daniel Day Kim. Ooh, and which is Mid Thunder.
Yeah.
Is Katara? Is that Katara?
UA.
Oh, UA.
Okay. Danny Pudi from Community is the mechanist.
He's the people that take over the air temple.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm rewatching Avatar currently, and man, that show holds up so well. It's like every episode is a banger. They got Ken Leung as Commander Zhao, which is a great casting.
Yeah.
That's very good. It holds up really well, and sadly, they just released a game, another game in the Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
And it is atrocious.
I haven't read Tom Mark's IGN reviewed it, but he tweeted about it, and I was just like...
I respect that he reviewed it. I think I tweeted that I don't when I get like the code in, or whenever someone's like, do you want to review this? I'm just like, no, I don't want it. No, because like I tweeted about it, and it's like, if not everyone involved in making these games isn't going to give a shit, I'm not going to give a shit from a like a coverage or like a consumer perspective, because it's just like insulting at this point. Like, fucking get out of my way. Like, I'm not wasting time and resources on this game that I just know is crap. So yeah, I'm not about that life. But I hope that one day someone makes a good Avatar game. There's so much to be done there. I think like even if it's not like, oh wait, we've made the Adventures of Aang, like you could do a cool like Korra pro bending game, like a sports game 100%. Or something like that, or like, you know, one of the many mini games in that. Just make an Uncle Iroh's Pie Show game. Like I'll play that game. Yeah, but yeah, Avatar still rules. Airbender. But yeah, that's about it. That's all I've been doing. I think we're going to wrap it up there. A shorter episode than usual, just because it's a smaller cast and we all have to kind of dash off and do various other things. But we should be back to full strength and a normal size podcast from next week. But for now, Jan, where can people find you? What are you doing?
Just go to giantbomb.com. It's a website about video games and, you know, found families as well.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Exactly.
It turns out.
You should be able to watch the train video by now. If you can't see it and it's not there, don't ask any questions.
Yeah, don't ask any questions.
Lucy, what about you?
I'm Lucy James Games everywhere.
Yeah. At Tamor H. Make sure you check out the Cyberpunk 2077 spoiler cast, which should be up now. Also, I wrote an Alan Wake preview, which you can read on the site. And also, there's a video preview that me and Lucy did together on the site. So check all that stuff out. There's also going to be, or there should be, a new episode of Spot On out by now, which is about PlayStation Plus and Xbox Game Pass and the rising prices of it and whether it's worth having them still. Totally non-spicy conversation. Will probably be received with the most.
No, fanboys or girls.
Yeah.
We'll get mad about.
Yeah. See you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye, Jerome.